Welcome back to the Weekly Papist. We're your hosts, Gio Del Piero, Michael Pekka. Michael, how have you been?
You know, Gio, I've been good. How have you been?
I've been good as well. I'm glad to be back recording. It really has been a while since we've actually sat down and recorded, because we had the original episodes sort of just ready to go. And
yeah. Set them out. Yeah, well, when was the last time we actually sat down? Was that before?
I think that was before we came back.
Actually? Wow, time flies.
Wow. So this is the first episode being recorded back at UD since freshman year.
Wait.
Because there were no other ones.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty. Oh wait, there was the Afghanistan one.
We did the Afghanistan. That was literally like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What's a day in the life of Gio like?
A lot of reading. For school.
That's a lot of reading.
Yeah, well, because we have the moral theology class together, and then like the three regular politics classes, then plus Ratzinger and natural law.
Okay, so like, what are you reading? I know you're reading Hobbes, Leviathan.
Yeah, so that's for Enlightenment, and we actually have finished up the reading for that class. So the next, I mean, for Hobbes at least. So the next we're going to John Locke. Yay. And then after that, or at least for Plato's Republic, it's just Plato's Republic.
Okay, nice. How much did you read of the Leviathan?
We read up to, yeah, it was page two. We read up to the sec right before the section where he got into more of his theology related content, because it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to do much with like his more basic political stuff, but also because it's, you know,
not great.
No, it's not.
Are you going to read it? Just like to say you read the Leviathan?
I think so, yeah.
How much is it?
It's around a little over 500 pages.
Like the religious section is 500 pages?
No. The whole book is over 500 pages.
Okay.
But the religious section is around, like, I'd say 300 or so. Yeah, it's gonna be a tough journey.
That is a slog. Good luck, buddy.
We'll see. But it's okay. I've got a Veritatis Splendor and Ratzinger to balance things out.
Okay, I mean, what else? So then what are you reading after Hobbes?
So after Hobbes, it's pieces of the second Locke's second treatise on government, and then his letter concerning toleration. Then following that will be the first and second discourses of Rousseau.
Okay, and so far, like, what do you think of, like, I mean, you only read Hobbes, like, what do you think of?
I mean, it's a really interesting class, and the teacher is excellent. I think he does a good job of sort of, because one of the things we did actually at one point was he did point out several contradictions that Hobbes had.
Like what?
In his work. It was more related to, because the beginning of the book is more psychological, so it is related to, like, how memories are created, or like dreams or visions. But there's some, I don't have the book on me, unfortunately, but it was kind of, I forget currently what they were. I have them written down, but I don't want to like completely botch what the professor said, but.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's good though. I mean, Hobbes is a very, for an Enlightenment thinker, he's very strange.
Because
the whole idea of Leviathan is that there's this one sovereign ruler that is required to rule over the society, because otherwise it'll fall into what's called like the state of nature, where it's, you know, like, if you know the, you hear that phrase like life is nasty, brutish, and short. That comes from Hobbes.
a very optimistic view of life.
Right, exactly. But so it's not, but his justification for a king, or I guess ruler having that type of power, it's not like, you know, for example, divine right. It's more based in social contract theory.
Okay. So kind of like more of like a, for his time, modern defense of monarchy, kind of extrapolation of that.
Yeah, and he has a lot of, he doesn't outright say it, but it's generally accepted now. He had a lot of influence from Machiavelli.
Okay. And like, you read The Prince, don't you?
Yeah, I read that last semester for political regimes.
Oh, okay. Which, yeah, was that
like, there's parts of it that, okay, they kind of make sense, but on the whole, though, it's such a very amoral philosophy that I could never get behind it.
Okay.
Because it just, it's not, he's not, Machiavelli was not concerned with what is right or wrong, it's just what is the most effective way to hold on to power and how do you go about doing that.
Okay, that makes sense. And so speaking more generally then, what else have you been up to? So like job, work, friends?
Yeah, so mostly, I mean, I do, you and I are writing for the newspaper together, which
is
exciting.
Go check it out. Writing movie reviews.
Yes.
So it's a good time.
Yeah, and then I work in the president's office as the glorified secretary.
Yeah,
so,
it's
a good time. And then, yeah, other than that, just hanging out with friends, you know, just the as typical of a college routine as you could have for a place like UD.
Right. Well, you went to the state fair last night.
I did, yes.
How was that?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not sure, because I had been to the California one a few times, like a long time ago. So this is my first time at the Texas one. I'm not sure which one is better, if I'm being completely honest.
Really? Wow, that's a bold statement. I mean, I haven't been to either, so I can't really.
Oh, come on, really?
So, okay, what are like the main differences? Like similarities, differences?
I mean, they're both very jam packed with people.
Lots of people. Like hundreds.
Yeah, it was packed. Like that was like we had to be. The way our group was organized, they were basically like, you have to have a buddy because otherwise you're going to get separated. And it's just, you know, it's a complete mess.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun, but it's just very chaotic. A lot of food.
Yeah.
A lot of not healthy food. And I think that was one of the main differences. I think, like in California, they don't go as overboard with the food at the fair as they do in Texas.
Okay.
A lot of deep fried stuff in Texas.
There are. And yeah, I've been trying to and failing to get away from that. I've been consistently going to Raising Cane's like after 10 p.m.
But like, okay, Raising Cane's though, that's a good restaurant.
Like, I mean, it's good, but that's why I it's bad because like it's fried chicken and like it tastes so good, but it's so unhealthy.
The fries and the Texas toast.
The Texas toast, just a piece of bread.
But it's like such a good piece.
I mean, it's a great piece of bread. Don't get me wrong, Gio, but you can't be eating that all the time.
Of course.
And I'm trying to get away from that.
Trying.
I say that I got back from Raising Cane's an hour ago, so I can't. Yeah, not doing too great.
Well, I mean, you're really put in a tough position, though, because on the one hand, like, yeah, you can go out and get food, or it's Aramark.
Yeah, exactly. And
I guess it'll be better, when we're upperclassmen, because I guess we can buy groceries, but even then, like, that's
kind of expensive. It's better. It is, yeah. It adds up, and, like, meal prep takes so long.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Really, just, like, going and, like, taking, like, 10 minutes to get food is just, like, really unbeatable.
Yeah.
Okay, controversial question.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A or Raising Cane's?
Oh, man. I'm going to get ostracized for... As much as I love Raising Cane's, I gotta go with Chick-fil-A.
You gotta go with Chick-fil-A.
Like,
what's your reasoning?
Okay, on the one hand... The thing with Raising Cane's is currently there isn't any like in Sacramento, right? So that's one of the great things about coming back to Texas. Oh, I have access to Raising Cane's. However, like I just the chicken at Chick-fil-A is unbeatable. Like I'm sorry, it just is. And
well,
you're wrong.
I'm a Raising Cane's guy.
Really?
I think what tips me over the edge is the sauce.
Okay.
I think Cane's sauce, I think, is much better than Chick-fil-A sauce. Chick-fil-A sauce is like the classic, I mean. Like, the classic Chick-fil-A sauce is a bit too sweet.
Okay.
It's, like, way too sweet. But, like, the Cane's sauce is just hearty,
so,
delicious. You just feel manly eating it.
Well, it's okay. Well, then here's the real question. What if you... Have you tried, like, a piece of Chick-fil-A chicken with the Raising Cane's sauce?
I don't think I'm ready. I don't think my heart is ready.
Do you think that would just kill you?
It would just kill me. I actually haven't thought about that. Yeah, I might need to do that. I'll talk to people.
Yeah, because I mean, then it's like, why not have both? You know,
That's fair.
But like, yeah, I mean, obviously,
God wants man to be happy.
Exactly.
After all, so.
Of course. But, I mean, but the thing, like, it's kind of I don't know. It just which one's I feel like. Cane's is cheaper. Yeah, that's also cheaper. Yeah, that is kind of another fact. Like, obviously,
Cane's is family oriented. See, Chick-fil-A is marketed towards the elites, Gia. So.
Really? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's very inconvenient though when they're off on Sundays. Although obviously that's a good thing, you know.
Exactly. It's a ploy to get the hardworking Christian man into Chick-fil-A. Meanwhile, Chick-fil-A is only oriented toward stealing the bottom dollar. So, meanwhile, Cane's an established community institution, eager and happy to give back.
Really? So. I'm not sure. I don't know if I go that. I mean, obviously, Cane's is great, but I don't know if I go that far.
I'm just kidding. I'm just exaggerating. But, yeah.
I feel like this would be, like, a great debate discussion. Like, we did Afghanistan last time. Next, it's Chick-fil-A versus Cane's.
It's kind of like the cats and dogs. Like, it's like, who really cares at the end of the day?
It's, like, fun to fight about it, but then, you know, it's whatever.
See, the real controversial questions are the old mass or the new mass?
Oh, God. you're really going to...
We're not going to talk about that.
No, I was about to say, that might be...
We're veering away.
I don't know, I feel like that would be, I mean, for the environment that's UD, that would be an interesting discussion, just because it's, you know...
I think most people have already heard the arguments.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, it really doesn't matter because, like,
Well, we all know the correct answer is neither, and it's Byzantine Divine Liturgy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Eastern.
No, but I have been wanting to go back, though, to St. Basil's. It's, you know, it's October. It's, you know,
with those Eastern roots, Gio.
Oh, right.
Giovanni Del Piero. Very Greek.
Yeah, well, very actually, it's a matter of fact.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's cool.
That'll be one of the great things. I mean, obviously, there's going to be many great things about going to Rome, but, like, think about how nice. Like, we're going to have so many incredible churches, all within a convenient.
Well, that's that one. Like, Gio and I just finished watching A Hidden Life, which is a movie about Blessed Franz Jägerstätter, who is an Austrian farmer who was called up to serve for Hitler's armies. He refused, and he was eventually executed for that. And there was one scene in this movie which showed, like, the cathedral, and it was just stunning. Like, yeah, it was, like, just unreal. And, like, with the music and, like, the cinematography, which was so good. Like, it was just, like, a very beautiful scene.
Michael and I were, like, geeking out at that one part just so you could get an idea. Like, because, like, the outside looks pretty nice. Like, you know, it's, like, it's, I thought the shape was kind of interesting. But, like, then you look inside. It's just like...
Well, that was the village church, I think. The cathedral was something else. Yeah.
Oh. I thought they were...
There are a few different churches. There's, like, one of the village church. The other one where, like, that painter was...
Oh, those... Okay.
Like, the outside.
I must have missed
that. And then there's the bishops. Yeah, okay. It was kind of... Well, that's the one downside of the movie. I didn't really explain things that well. They kind of just went and, like, changed locations without saying, like, oh, we're going to the bishop for this reason. Like,
right. This was your... It just... flash, and you're like, oh, we're here with the bishop now, I guess.
Well, that's the thing, like, there's that one scene with the priest where, like, the priest is like, I'll talk to the bishop about your case. Like, what case does that mean? Like, the bishop has no control over if he serves or not,
right,
in the military. Is it, like, the moral question if he should serve or not? But that wasn't made clear, because he seemed pretty set that he was going to do this from the beginning.
Yeah, I guess maybe he was hoping for some, not necessarily hoping for a way out, but maybe thinking, like, oh, maybe there's something else I hadn't considered.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Just realizing,
but, like, we shouldn't be the ones, like, figuring this out. Like, it should be kind of already, like, made clear, or more clear, I guess. Like,
yeah. I thought it was fantastic.
It's fantastic. I'm just, there's a few weaknesses, but, as you know, every movie, like, no movie's gonna be perfect. So, but overall, it's very good.
Revenge of the Sith will always be
Attack of the Clones, maybe.
I wouldn't push it.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know. A friend of mine got in a debate about this not that long ago, because the question was, like, which was the best Star Wars movie? And the two camps were Revenge of the Sith or Empire Strikes Back.
I'm a Revenge of the Sith kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Empire Strikes Back, fantastic movie. Like, as well as Star Wars. But, like, you know, it's really good.
But the thing is, like, Star Wars in general isn't that great.
What was that?
I said it. Controversial opinion.
Wow, we're learning some new things today.
I could have sworn I've already said this on the podcast.
Have you?
I think so. I'm like, I don't really like. I love Star Wars to an extent. I love it like a distant relative that you see every, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know, that's kind of my relationship. You know, like too much.
Like the Christian who goes to church only on like Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, well, like too much, and it's like if you hang out with this person for too much, like you get sick and tired of it.
Okay.
But like, it's nice to be around them every once in a while. It's kind of how I view Star Wars. It's just not that good.
All right. That's your entitled to your own opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're wrong.
I think we're realizing that there are lots of divisions amongst the weekly papers.
I know. And now the question is, which one will be at the root of the schism?
I think the Raising Cane's one. I'm just kidding.
Yes, that'll be. Yeah, it's like, so why having to answer? Imagine getting interviewed by the UD newspaper. They ask you, so why exactly did the podcast get canceled? It's like, oh, there was a difference of opinion about
chicken sandwiches.
Yes,
exactly.
They would just wouldn't understand how like meaningful it is.
Well, I do like kind of get back to the Star Wars question. I think I'm like very much a science fiction aficionado. Like not aficionado. I love science fiction. Like I took a class in it in high school. Oh, science fiction as literature, unbelievably fantastically good, and like. I just think there are just better science fiction universes out there. And, like, the things that explore things in a much more profound way.
Which out of the ones, I guess, you read or watched in that class, I don't want to say the best one, but, like, the one that really stuck with you the most?
Well, they all have different strengths and weaknesses, which isn't really an answer. One I really, really enjoyed was The Watchmen, which is a graphic novel, and it kind of, like... Like, everyone talks about Marvel or DC. The thing with Marvel and DC, like, the heroes tend to just be very... Like, it's very obvious, like, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy. You like the bad guy. Or you like the good guy, you hate the bad guy. Oh, the good guy wins. Yeah. Right? That seems to be the generic kind of, like,
format.
And, like, Marvel especially, like, the recent movies, it has become so formulaic. Like, you just, like, you don't feel, like, the excitement anymore of, like, oh, like, who's gonna win? And, like, the bad guys are kind of, like... pretty obviously bad that it's like but like the title The Watchmen comes from that old Roman saying, who watches the watchman? And so you have these heroes and they're very much like, they're very human, like they have their flaws, they have their vices, but they also have their virtues. The idea is, who watches the superheroes? And like the whole, it's outstanding. It's like
a
psychological thriller. There's like conspiracy theories with like behind the government, heroes who don't want to do their jobs, who kind of like feel like the society has rejected them, which they have, and like, what do you do? And like, it ends on just an outstanding note. Like, you're not sure, like, did the good side succeed or not? Like, who, like, what happened essentially? And like it's just so good. And like, the art style is excellent, fantastic, by far one of just amazing.
Really?
So I think that was probably my favorite piece of science fiction that we like read in that class.
Would you want to see those adapted into a movie?
They did, and it didn't work that well. I don't know why. I haven't seen it. I kind of want to see it just because like it's good.
Like,
but
you know it too, but
we didn't actually read it. What we did was we watched like there's like YouTube series, and like someone would read each chapter and like show like the slide that they were reading.
Oh.
So like it was like an audiobook essentially.
Okay, but like a visual audio book.
Yeah, but like you didn't know that you were looking at slides. Like everything was stitched together really well. So like it was pretty good. I actually have a physical copy of it in my room. Outstanding. And I just don't think Star Wars, like, kind of having seen like well developed science fiction universes, I think just Star Wars kind of falls short. But it's like the first one. Like that's like kind of like your leg into like the science fiction.
Yeah, like it's
genre.
Like it could be, if it's something you're really interested in, that could be like the gateway.
Exactly, it's a good gateway.
Didn't C.S. Lewis have a science fiction? Mm-hmm. I think was it a trilogy or was it one book?
I heard it was a trilogy. I think it was a trilogy. I need to read it. It might be really good.
I keep thinking like there's always, I feel like there's always like some genre that he's in. You're like, oh yeah, you should read this by C.S. Lewis.
Exactly. I want to read that. I think that'd be good. I think science fiction literature kind of takes the cake though for me.
Okay.
Just like. I can't go for Leibowitz, so good. I enjoyed 1984, Brave New World. Kind of, you know, more stuff like dystopians for me are like, where is that? But
yeah. Have you, I'm assuming you really haven't had much time lately to read
any of the... No, I haven't.
Do you want to inform the audience about your schedule? Because like, it's pretty, I mean, it's insanely impressive that you're able to manage all of it. I hope you take that as a compliment, because it's like, I know I would have probably cracked under the pressure by this point.
Yeah, so I'm doing 15 credits, which isn't that much. And with the extra three, I'm going to do like the inner term. So in between spring and winter, take like a West Civ 2 or like a like philosophy of being. So 15 credits, and those classes are microbiology, organic chemistry, moral theology with geo, fundamentals of economics, which isn't that bad, and then a 1 credit Ratzinger in the natural law, which is quite good, and like Pope Benedict XVI's own like viewpoints in the natural law from his speeches throughout his pontificate. But I also have 3 jobs. So I'm the RA for one of the dorms. I'm also the Gen Chem tutor for the incoming, you know, for the, those taking Gen Chem 1 and Gen Chem 2. And I'm also one of the journalists with Geo for like movie reviews. So far so good, I guess. Just gotta be organized and disciplined.
He says this as a tear.
Yeah, it's all a tear all down my face. It can get a bit rough, like managing everything, but like you just gotta keep a tight look on that schedule.
Right. So. Like if you don't stay on top of it, you're.
Exactly. But like overall, like it's really not that hard, and like I have like help. I have a lot of support from like my friends. Like obviously, like with you, like I'm able to do the podcast, so it's not just a one-sided thing.
Yeah.
With you, I'm able to do like the journalism stuff, right. So it's like, not it's, that bad.
It's
we can split the duties.
Yeah, exactly. It's balanced out. But like the thing, like this is part of the reason why I didn't want to become an RA is I could not handle the unpredictability of what you would be doing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get that impression, or do you think it's, or is it more structured than?
I wouldn't say every day is a new thing. I'd say it's more like every week it's a new thing. Okay. And I'm not saying like we deal with a problem like a week, but it's like, oh, like there's a problem this one week that like I've never like dealt with before. So for instance, like last night it was the Fight Club. Their videos. A few weeks ago it was the AC going out. Last week it was the fact that the pipes once again exploded in the bathroom and there was like disgusting like liquids everywhere. So it's just like, you know, take a day at a time, and yeah, it's really fine. I haven't really had any problems with the residents, and they're all great guys. I really do enjoy like the guys, and like being an RA is like, and for me, like kind of like my first leadership position. Like I was an Eagle Scout, I was a Boy State delegate. I've done clubs, but like, for me, like the RA for kind of first feels like a real leadership position.
Like you feel
like I have the ability to craft these individuals into like better people.
Like you have like, not that you didn't have responsibilities before, but they're much more in your hands.
They're much more genuine. It's like they're genuine responsibilities. Like yeah. Boy Scouts, it's like I'm here because I want to be an Eagle Scout or because my parents are making me. And as a result, like it's kind of, it can be like difficult. And you only see them like once a week. Or if you're camping out, like I guess the only time that you're really involved with them is when you go on campouts. And those are usually like 2 days, unless it's like summer camp and it's a week. This is like every day for months. Just very different. And I love it. I enjoy it.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, at least, because otherwise it's like, if you don't enjoy it, then you're going to have a much, have a much more difficult time.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you kind of need to like be really thick skinned.
Oh yeah.
Because like, for instance, like for like the last week, the fire alarm was pulled and like our, like the RA's pictures were thrown to the urinals, for instance. So like I don't really care. Like I have way bigger things to concern myself about.
But it's just those little things that can annoy you.
Yeah, because that was the same night I had to do my organic. I had to prep for my first organic chemistry lab, and that I started prepping for that a little bit later than I wanted to. So like I started prepping that for like at like 10 p.m. Worked until about 1 a.m. when the fire alarm went off. And then worked for a little bit more until like maybe like 1:50. Then I woke up at 9. I worked no breaks from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is when the lab started. Lab went from 1 to 5:20 about, and that was like my day. So like just
like one little change, well like one unplanned thing.
Yeah, like not prepping like, for it.
Yeah, it can just throw off.
Exactly. So like Thursday was only organic chemistry. So it was, I mean, I really enjoy organic cuz it's not that bad.
But it's just like it can, if you're not, if things don't go like the way it's planned, it can take over. Like it can
be, and just being prepped for those uncertainties is always important. So you should be an RA, Gia.
Oh, it sounds like so much fun. But
what else are you gonna do?
I don't know. Well, so the what's it called? Should I tell them about the Young Conservatives of Texas thing?
Yeah.
So a few of us got together this past week because there's plans to start at the University of Dallas a chapter of a group called the Young Conservatives of Texas, which is a breakoff group from I forget if it was Young America's Foundation or Young Americans for Liberty. It's one of the two, but like one of those like larger conservative youth groups. But we're starting a chapter here, and I'm excited to see how it goes. I mean, I have some reservations as far as what is going to be, I guess, taught as like first principles. I mean, it was because there was some the choice. From what I've heard, the choice was between either them or TPUSA, and I would not join TPUSA if that was it. But I think YCT is a good group, and I'm looking forward to working with them. So.
Well, you're an officer, aren't
kind
you?
Of, yeah.
Or like, yeah, like it's, you know, it's a leadership position.
Right, yeah. We'll just go with that. So it's a nice vague term for it.
A nice vague term.
But yeah, and then
nice. That's actually that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean it's. You know, I did something similar in high school, and obviously my views have slightly changed since then. So
a little bit, yeah, I'd say so. Know,
but like, it's still the same general concept.
I got invited to do that, not like the officer, but just like go attend. But I just,
as I was saying, like you're like, yeah, I might have like a slight 20 minutes during the day. Like,
yeah, I could honestly. I can't go to the journalist practicums for that reason.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't been to a single meeting. I just can't. Because of you with being my co-author, like, you just go for me, which is what I mean, like, support is nice.
Right. Well, and it's, yeah, I mean, because it's kind of easier for us as well, because for the practicums, it's for, like, they throw out article ideas, and then people volunteer for them. But since we have the set routine of movie reviews, like, I just attend to be like, oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm representing Michael as well, just in case
we have a question. Is that
what you say? I usually will say, oh, like Michael and I were wondering, or Michael and I had a question about this, so they know like
it's that I'm still involved in something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be like, yeah, I don't know where he is, but I'm here at least. And
this throws me under the bus every week.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, but what have you thought about the Thomistic Institute?
I really enjoyed it. We had a fantastic talk on Mary, what was it, her grace, her freedom, her beauty.
It was, I think it was, I forget what the exact, it was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was her freedom and her beauty were the last two.
I think it was her genius.
Her genius.
Was that the other, yeah. It was a phenomenal talk.
Yeah, it was. It was outstanding. It was with Father Petri, it was a Thomas Petri.
I think so.
Yeah, and he's like a Dominican from Washington, D.C. It basically, his premise rests on the fact that when Mary's confronted with the angel Gabriel calls, you know, full of grace. What does that mean to be full of grace? And the idea is that because she's full of grace, she's kind of not necessarily restored to the state of original justice that Adam and Eve possessed, but something similar to that.
Yeah.
And as such, like, she would have been a genius in the sense that she would have the ability to read the scriptures and know intuitively, like, what, like, the prophecies are pertaining to Christ, and just like, she would have been able to figure it out before it was revealed.
Yeah. Which is, that's like, was like a mind, like, I know it's kind of cliche, like a mind blow.
Exactly. It really was. And then her freedom, in the sense that because she's like, what, free from sin, and she's always choosing God and stuff like that, right?
I think kind of like, yeah, that was the,
her ability to like have the, like, her ability to like recognize, like, this is when I should do this, because she doesn't have any inclinations to sin. She's able to recognize her. She has full rational control of her passions and stuff like that, which is really interesting. And then her beauty, which is also was fascinating. And he talked about how, like, at the Transfiguration, the real miracle isn't that Jesus revealed himself to be like the glorified body, but rather that Jesus has to always constantly suppress that. Because he used the word, like, sinners fear the divine. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus was constantly walking around in a glorified body, sinners would not approach him. And he suppressed that, like, glorified image of himself so sinners would approach him and he could heal them. And Mary's not the same way in that regard. She's not suppressing that, but in the sense that because she's so full of glory, her soul is beauty. Her soul is beautiful, and that reflects in her physical form.
Well, I remember him saying as well that she would have been, seen as like beyond beautiful by everyone around her, but because she was so holy that no man could bear to
desire, like lust
after her. Like in a way you kind of say like she's a human being obviously, but just on like
a different scale.
That's just you can't really wrap your mind around
which makes sense, because if you think about it, like she was able to bear God.
The God bearer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but like that's just like, I think an unfortunate consequence of say Protestantism, when they when they make Mary lesser, they make God lesser, because like, oh, like she could have just been any woman and she bore Jesus.
Yeah, like that's
the second person of the Trinity made flesh. Like that's kind of like a big deal.
When you
lower Mary, you lower the incarnation, and you make that seem like lesser than it really is. But like, and it's like she bore God.
There's a specific of a specific type of character that someone would have to be granted that.
Yeah, like that's like
not only, but also to be willing to accept that.
Yeah, the consequences that come from. You imagine being chosen by God to bear God? Like that's that's just like is insane to me. And the talk was outstanding, and so I'm really excited to go to the next few ones. I think they're more UD faculty, and like I'm like, I can't, you know, like I'd rather hear like outside talkers come in. And plus, we already knew Father Petri from like Twitter.
That's true. So like, that's true.
Like
yeah,
having but... like I don't know, like hearing like a philosophy teacher from UD come talk, it's interesting, but like,
you know,
I've other things to do, I guess.
Well, then I guess here's the real question then. How are you going to attend the thing that's coming up about the CRT stuff?
I'd be interested. I would be really interested to go. And like, it's not really so much like it's just like it's a seminar on critical race theory, but it's not a. It doesn't take like a. I don't know if it necessarily doesn't take a negative view. So like the way I was heard described to me, there are going to be 5 speakers. One pro, one anti, and like the other 3 are gonna be in between.
Yeah.
So like, and like you read like about 100 pages of like the thinkers who originally gave those ideas, like very intelligent individuals, very well written pieces of writing, but like the original stuff.
Right. Like and this like, is like the source material.
Yeah. So like in kind of like seeing how that's, it was not even so much like how we see it develop to now. It's just like what was it? What is
critical race theory? What was the original intent behind?
Yeah, so I think I would be very interested in attending. And speaking of which, I do need to apply. I haven't yet.
We'll figure that out.
Then. Yeah, but, so I'd be really interested. How about you?
I think I would go. I mean, because I know some of the people who either are in that club or who help run it. Or at least the
Racial Solidarity Club.
Yeah, who hosts it. And they're good people. You know, I'm sure if we sat down and talked, we have many disagreements on things. But I also think there's stuff that we would find common ground on as well. So I'm interested to sort of see, yeah, for one, because the professor who told us about it was the one who hosts the natural law class.
Yeah.
And he's no, from what I've heard, he's no fan of that type of ideology, but he said like the readings are very interesting. So I'd be willing to give it a shot. It's just, you know, like I thought about it, I'm like, well, okay, this is probably preferable than seeing the, you know, the mass produced infographics about it on like Instagram or something.
Well, even for both ways, like if you're like conservative understanding it better, and if you're liberal understanding it better, because like I've only interacted with critical race theory in an online format.
Yeah.
And like that's like easily the most unreliable way of obtaining information.
Like you take every
anonymous Twitter accounts on both sides.
Oh yeah, like I've obviously more recently gotten annoyed with, because when I first went on Instagram, I followed a few, you know, conservative accounts. I'm just annoyed with them now because it's the same, it's just the same sort of regurgitated, you know, sloganeering that doesn't really mean anything.
Definitely. Well, that's in a few weeks from now, so I guess we'll see what happens. Yeah. And I think last thing, are you going to Oktoberfest tonight?
I think I'll stop by for a little bit.
You think so? What does it involve? Like,
I don't really. Because originally, when I thought it was more for, it was more oriented towards like upperclassmen.
Well, we can't drink.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I mean, they have like the, you know, they have this like giant they don't have a chess board, but they have these giant chess pieces that like you could play. And, like, they have like cornhole or something.
I'll probably swing by too. I guess I'll see what other people are gonna do. But who knows?
Yeah, like that was my thing. Like, well,
I just have work to do. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like they're not. UD's very counterintuitive when it comes to these events, because they're like, oh yeah, we have this big event going on, you should go. And it's like, well, the teachers gave me two exams to study for and a paper, so it's going to be...
Something's going to take priority.
Yeah, like, you know, so it's a rather unfortunate circumstance.
It is.
But,
yeah. All right, well, maybe I'll see you there.
Yes, I guess I'll see you well. But,
all right, anything
this
else?
One thing. So okay, this is more of a I guess, housekeeping duty, but for UD students, and actually we'll post pictures of them on the Instagram and Twitter, but a good friend of ours, does he want to be named?
He's hopping on next week, so I might as well give him a shout out.
Yeah, true. Okay, so Charlie.
Charlie.
Who is a good friend of ours and who will be a guest next week. He volunteered and made some flyers for our podcast that will have, like, they have a nice little design, and they have like a QR code that you can scan to find, like, you know, you can find the podcast and the Instagram, etc. So those are going to be going up around UD this week. So if you do see them around, you know, feel free to, you know, scan the QR code and do all that. But I will be posting pictures on them on the social media accounts as well, just so you can kind of see what is up. So
definitely, yeah, looking forward to that.
I know, it'll be good. We'll fail. We're now that we're more established, we can be more public.
Oh, plus we have an unpaid intern.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, yes. Baby. So the weekly Paphos has officially expanded its business model, and so now we have
to make a profit of $0.
Of course. It's our freshman who also volunteered, but he's now our unpaid intern. His name's Asher.
He's a great guy.
I just realized I've never met him in person.
He has a great sense of style. So
that's good. We like, you know, we need to make sure we're represented well the UD people.
He's great. You'll love him. He's kind of like our research analyst. Oh, look at that. Big word. Doesn't really mean anything. He's just going to look up topics for us to talk about, I guess. Something smaller. Smaller episodes.
Yeah, well, just because we also had put out on the Instagram a poll of, like, oh, what would you like us to talk about for future episodes? So, like, if we pick a topic from there, you could research it. And then makes our lives easier and also means we can do a better job, like, planning the episode and what we're going to say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, having a balance, you know, lightening the load for everyone.
That's right. All right, excellent. Well, I think that's everything.
Yeah, we're signing off for today. We will be recording again next week. We have our discussion. We're not saying what the topic is yet, but I think it'll be very interesting, especially for, I guess, college students, but also just younger people in general. I think it's a topic that needs more discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Go with that. But anyways, it's been real, and we will talk to you all later.
All right, thank you guys. See ya.
Take care.